Well, let's go to Montreal. Tony Marinaro from TSN in Montreal joins us again. Tony, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Do you think it's realistic that Subban would get dealt?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Now, if they're trading Subban, what are they so disgruntled about in him that they would trade a guy who many consider a top 10 defender in the game?
Look, there's no doubt that PK Subban's the best defenseman on the Montreal Canadiens, and there's no doubt that he's a top 10 defenseman in the National Hockey League, and, you know, on some people's list, they'll put him in the top five. I mean, that's, once again, it's but there's no doubt he's a top 10 in the league, and guys like that, you usually don't want to trade. Will Marc Bergevin trade PK Subban for the sake of trading PK Subban? Of course not. Do the Canadiens have a lot of depth at defense? Should Subban be traded? Not really, to tell you the truth, but there are some holes in the Montreal Canadiens, one of which is offense. The Canadiens have had a really, really hard time scoring goals over the past couple of years, so you would think they're not going to take a forward out of their lineup who scores 30 goals because they only had two of those, Max Pacioretty and Alex Galchenyuk, this past season. The Canadiens desperately need a centerman because if you take a look at the teams in the East, the Canadiens, as long as they have Thomas Plekanec and David Desharnais and Lars Eller, who plays center and sometimes wing, they're not going to be able to compete. Alex Galchenyuk was great down the stretch at center, but there's still some people in the organization that actually think he'd be better suited as a winger and not a centerman. But he'll get the opportunity to start at center with Max Pacioretty and Brendan Gallagher to start next season, you would think. But the Canadiens need a centerman, and the Canadiens need a right winger, and the Canadiens need scoring. And if the Canadiens don't win the lottery, they're not going to be able to add a player via the draft that can step in at either the center position or the wing position right away. Now, you know, if the Canadiens trade Subban, a defenseman, and acquire a forward, well then, you know, they're addressing one need, but they're not addressing the other, and they're actually weakening in other spots. So I would think that if PK Subban was traded, it would probably be part of a package deal. The Canadiens would probably like to get multiple players. The Canadiens, I would think, would like to get a forward and a defenseman. But, of course, there's speculation for a couple of reasons. Okay, number one, his no-trade clause contract kicks in on July 1st. So if the Canadiens don't trade him before July 1st, at that point, for the next 6 years, unless he demands a trade or okays a trade, PK Subban is going to be a Montreal Canadian. As much as the Canadiens love things about Subban's game, there are a few things that, you know, make them rather uneasy. One of which is when they feel like he's not playing the team game. And I'll give you a case in point. And I know that every player in the National Hockey League makes mistakes, but there are some cases where he's last man back and he spins and he dekes somebody. And then instead of advancing with the puck, he'll probably stop and spin again and try and deke that player again. That's a situation that came up in Winnipeg on Mark Scheifele, and it led to a Scheifele goal. At times, he picks up the puck, and the forwards are waiting with their stick on the ice, expecting a pass, wanting a quick pass, and there's a lot of dipsy-doodling and turning back, and that aggravates some of the players on his team. There is something else which I think is, look, it's never been admitted by anyone in the organization on record. PK Subban has done an unbelievable job of branding himself. His PK76 brand, he's done an amazing job with it. He's made himself the most, in my opinion, probably the most marketable player in the entire National Hockey League without being the best player in the National Hockey League. There are things that he's doing right. He's got a bunch of sponsors throwing a lot of endorsement money his way. And that's great. That's all fine and dandy for PK Subban. He's smart, probably smarter than everyone else in the league. But I would think, from what I hear, that, you know, the Canadiens aren't crazy about the fact that, you know, that PK76 brand is front and center. They'd love for that Canadiens logo to be front and center more often than not. And so there's a few things, right? There's a few things that when you add it all up, yeah, I believe there's a possibility he's going to be traded. Jason, he's definitely not an untouchable. I mean, who can we say is an untouchable in the National Hockey League? Connor McDavid? I mean, is there anybody else? Really?
You're probably right. Crosby, maybe Kane. But, yeah, I see what you're saying for sure. And Subban, it's interesting you mention, you know, his individual brand. And why I could see how in corporate National Hockey League, it's like, well, geez, we're paying PK all this money, and he doesn't even put the Habs logo up on in his site. You know, might be an oversight on his part when it comes to business, because without the Habs, there's probably no PK Subban as far as, you know, him in a Canadian market, right? Like, if he's playing in Florida, he's not getting the same marketing dollars as he is in Montreal. Like, that's safe to say.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. And look, once again, you know, it's not to say that he doesn't wear the Canadiens' attire, and he does wear the Canadiens' cap, but you know, very often he wears, you know, his PK76 brand, whether it be the undershirt or the cap. And I would think that in an ideal world for the Montreal Canadiens, he would wear the Canadiens' gear from start of the season to end of the season, and then in the off season he can wear whatever he wants, I would think.
Tony, you know, that kind of thing kind of leaks out here and there. We hear about the big personality and all that goes with that. Let's say all this plays into a situation where, as you say, Bergevin is willing to at least listen and contemplate it. When you call him a top 20 defenseman, and some people would say top 10, and you can split the difference. If you're going to trade that guy, in my world, defensemen are far more valuable. And as you touched on, you're taking away from one part of the team to add to another. To me, you've got to get a rock solid top 10 center, if that's what they're looking for, in the league, and another piece to maybe fill that hole on the back end. That's not easy to do.
Well, that's not easy to do if you trade PK Subban once again by himself, because if you trade him by himself, you're probably going to get one top piece and not two top pieces. But that's why I believe that if a trade goes down, it could be for multiple pieces. You know, and once again, there's the $9 million, and maybe in a couple of years from now, $9 million is not a lot of money for NHL defensemen, but it is in today's National Hockey League. And yes, the Canadiens gave it to him, but at the same time, look, once again, I maintain PK Subban's a top 10 defenseman. You know, you guys are in Edmonton today, and I would tell you right now that the Edmonton Oilers should go after PK Subban. He's a great player, you know, and I could see him doing amazing things in Edmonton if the Edmonton Oilers acquired him. But, you know, $9 million is a chunk of change, and with $9 million, you can possibly get two players on your cap, one at 5 and one at 4. Now, once again, I mean, deals aren't easy to make in the National Hockey League, and it's going to have to take quite a deal to go down. But once, you know, I'm not saying they're going to trade him, but I'm saying that there definitely is a possibility, and it wouldn't surprise me if PK Subban was not traded by the Montreal Canadiens, and it wouldn't surprise me if he was traded on draft weekend.
Now, you just said, you know, the Edmonton Oilers should be interested if they're willing to move him. Let's bring that idea right here now. If you're playing Mark Bergevin and you're sending PK Subban to the Oilers, if the first preference is a center and Connor McDavid is not on the table, which would be crazy to put him on the table, where else do you go if you're picking up the phone and talking to Peter Chiarelli?
Well, if you're asking me who I like, I mean, I like Leon Draisaitl over Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, personally. Then again, the Edmonton Oilers have a chance to win the lottery, and if they do win the lottery, I don't know whether or not they're going to draft Austin Matthews or not, but, I mean, of course, that would be interesting to see if Edmonton would put a piece like that on the table. Because, look, Edmonton, I don't have to tell you, has all the forwards in the world. It's defense that they need. And the Canadiens need a little bit of both. They need a little bit of forwards, and they need a little bit of defense. So I like Draisaitl. The draft pick, of course, is something that's there. I don't know if the Edmonton Oilers would be willing to part with Draisaitl. I don't know if they would be willing to part with the draft pick should they win the lottery and get the number one pick in the draft. But I would think that the first thing the Montreal Canadiens would want is a centerman. The Canadiens are thin at center, and they're thin at right wing.
Tony Marinaro from TSN 690 in Montreal joins us. Well, if the Oilers win the lottery, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of teams. And, you know, PK Subban, if you're trading in Austin Matthews, which is what I think it's obvious that Austin Matthews is going to be the number one overall pick this year. It's pretty much a consensus pick. He's a center iceman. That, you know, you do that trade straight up, Montreal would probably have to take a salary back as well, just because, you know, in the salary cap area, you mentioned Edmonton's taking on $9 million. But, man, That would be a blockbuster deal, Tony, that could have people talking if indeed, you know, the Oilers win the lottery. Because if they get number two, let's say, you know, Patrick Laine is a heck of a player and, potential. But I don't think I just think there's a difference maybe in a winger to trading the center. If you traded the pick for Laine, the Oilers would probably have to add in more than they would if they gave the number one pick for sure.
I hear you, and I agree with you. And there's also something, you know, when you talk about the talk of maybe trading this guy or that guy, we have to keep in mind, you know, the Montreal Canadiens had a really disappointing season. I mean, Carey Price gets hurt, and the whole team falls apart. And, you know, many believe that if the Canadiens would have stuck together this year and they would have played as a team and everyone would have brought it, this team would have been a playoff team. But unfortunately, there were guys pulling in different directions. So what changed for the Montreal Canadiens this year? Last year, they had four assistant captains. They called it leadership by committee. This year, they went to a player's vote. Max Pacioretty was named captain. P.K. Subban made it very clear that he wanted to be the captain. I mean, who wouldn't want to be the captain, right? Especially the Montreal Canadiens. But the room wasn't united, and the room was clicky, and there were people pulling in different directions. And once again, it's something that on the record no one's going to admit to, but off the record the players will tell you that indeed it was not a united room. So because of that, you will hear names of Montreal Canadiens players thrown out there. You'll hear P.K. Subban, and you'll probably hear other players as well.
So, Tony, it'll be an interesting offseason. What is your best guess on do the Habs luck out and win one of the three lotteries?
Because it's been a terrible, terrible season for the Montreal Canadiens, I say their bad luck continues. And very unfortunately, they do not get lucky in the lottery. I mean, when was the last time the Montreal Canadiens got lucky with anything? Let's be honest. But if I had a dollar or two, I'd bet on the Edmonton Oilers to win the lottery because it seems like they always do.
Well, it's true. It's, you know, you never count out the Hawks until they're actually out, and until the Oilers lose the lottery, you're right. They are the favorite. Tony, always good to talk to you. It should be an interesting week. And once the lottery decides who has what, I'm sure the trade rumors, it'll be an interesting one in Montreal for sure. Fun
you're
summer
right,
for
guys.
You.
I want to leave you with this. My belief is that Marc Bergevin will be a very proactive general manager over the next couple of months. He really has no choice. Once again, it was a season of huge disappointments, and he was under the microscope as well. And it's do or die for Marc Bergevin. He knows that even though he has a 5-year contract extension, he has a lot to prove in this offseason, and I believe he'll be a proactive general manager.
Tony, great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.